The Skagway Assembly discusses how to involve the public in White Pass lease dealings, and the legislature hears about whether salmon are safe from Fukushima radiation. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A proposed agreement between White Pass Yukon Railroad and the municipality of Skagway was released to the public about 2 weeks ago, after nearly 5 years of discussion between the city and company officials, much of it behind closed doors. But some assembly members said last week the issue is not yet at a point where the public should be weighing in on it, not until an official lease document is drafted and signed. Lease negotiations have been ongoing, as Skagway wants to move ahead with the Gateway project to expand and rehabilitate the port, but needs to iron out access issues with White Pass. The company, meanwhile, wanted assurance it would have a lease of the property it relies on for operations past 2023. Mayor Mark Schaefer made note of the Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, at last week's assembly meeting. He said the next step is for attorneys to draft the official lease using the terms in the MOU. Then it has to be formally approved by the Assembly. The last step will be for the lease to go before the voters for final approval. Schaefer also said the Port Commission had met recently and recommended a cost-benefit analysis be done on the MOU. He wants the Finance Committee and manager to find a consultant to do the study, since the Assembly wrote the MOU and knows the most about it, he said. Assemblyman Gary Hansen said he was pleased to see the idea of a cost-benefit analysis come forward, but he also wants to organize public meetings about the MOU sooner rather than later.
I would suggest that before we go too far forward and have attorneys working on leases and engineers making plans for this project, that we schedule a town meeting and invite the management of Club Link or their representative to come here and explain to the folks why this is a good deal for Skagway.
Hansen, who was the only assembly member to vote against approving the MOU, has said he has concerns about several elements. He said at the meeting he's also been hearing concerns from members of the public. Mayor Schaefer said he did not want to hold a public meeting until the formal lease is drafted. Holding public meetings before that could hold up the process. But he said the public input will ultimately come in the form of a vote.
I intend not to stop this process from going to the voters, because it's exactly what we've been doing, in and out of executive session, and we're not giving them a chance to weigh in at all. It's just entirely unfair and improper in my view.
Well, I was thinking that a town meeting would give them a chance.
No, I think a vote of the people is the way to do it. Let them individually weigh in as members of this community.
Assemblymember Dan Henry, who is on Skagway's negotiating team to come up with the MOU and lease, sided with Mayor Schaefer, saying while meetings will be held, they won't change the details of the lease at this point. Henry framed it this way. The Assembly, in a 4-2 vote in April, changed the ordinance for how municipal leases are approved. Any lease worth more than $5 million must be approved by voters. So, that is why, Henry said, it's up to the community at this point to vote on what the negotiators and Assembly have decided is the best avenue to get the Gateway project moving.
We've done the best that we feel we can do to forward the Gateway project. And if that's not a good thing, then we vote no. If it is a good thing, then we vote yes. And it's really that simple, like most everything else. But it will be collectively throughout the entire community that the vote will come. It won't be halted in its process up at the table because we know best. Because obviously that decision was not supposed to be made at the table. That's why we changed the ordinance.
Henry also revealed a tidbit about lease negotiations. He said toward the end of negotiations, the Assembly agreed on its bottom line terms to move ahead with the lease, and White Pass countered with an offer that eclipsed those terms. Henry also emphasized that the MOU is not up for discussion since it's the formal lease that will actually be voted on, which caused Henry to wonder why the Port Commission had been discussing the MOU at its recent meeting.
The Port Commission serves at the behest of the Assembly, and we're not in a position at this particular point in time where we were looking for additional input to reframe or massage the MOU. That's done. Now it is a meaningless document until its transformation then becomes a legal document, which is in the lease form. So until that happens, again, we have nothing to talk about as a community.
Other assembly members agreed to keep the process moving, but schedule at least two public meetings after the formal lease is drafted. Assemblyman Spencer Morgan said he voted to move the MOU forward so it could get out into the public, but he does have some reservations about the details.
As you guys obviously knew in the course of our meetings, I was obviously on the fence. It's kind of hard for me to look at this MOU and look at my daughter and realize she'll be 42 when it's finally up. But I think in the long run, any input we can get from the public on this in any form is a good thing. We came right out of executive session and voted on it with no public input. And, to me, that is the most important part of this whole process is getting the public input.
Assemblymember Tim Cochran said he also has concerns but wants to move ahead with the process. And Jim Sager said he looks forward to the cost-benefit analysis being done. Schaefer closed out the discussion by reiterating he doesn't want to hold a public meeting at this point because he doesn't want the perception that the Assembly is holding up the process of the lease going to a vote. A vote, he said, the Assembly will gladly put in the public's court.
And I truly do worry about the perception of us trying to now put the process off when we have an opportunity to put it to the people. That's what we've said. So to not get it to them is trying to control the process from here, much like Dan's saying, and I certainly don't want that perception. Again, leave it up to the people. This table will move on with the decision they make, and we don't have to make any excuses here. We gave it to them. They say yes or no. We leave it at that. They're the ones that are going to be responsible for the decision, not us.
Schaefer said the borough attorney will have a lease drafted by late February. He also said White Pass officials are prepared to come to Skagway to talk with the public and answer questions about the lease once public meetings are scheduled. A jury heard opening arguments Wednesday in the case of a longtime Haynes hunting guide and his Canadian clients accused of violations surrounding at least two goat hunts. Local guide John Katzik has pleaded not guilty to several charges of violating federal hunting and wildlife trafficking laws. Three clients are also on trial with him. The case is being heard in federal court in Juneau. The Juneau Empire is covering the trial, which may last a few weeks, and includes several witnesses from Haynes scheduled to testify. Katzik and his clients are accused of falsifying hunt records and trafficking illegally killed wildlife across borders. The charges revolve around two hunts that took place in the Upper Chilkat Valley. Katzik is also accused in connection with goat hunts in the Kewaunee Wildlife Sanctuary in Yukon. The trial resumes in Juneau on Monday. The State Senate Resources Committee got an overview Wednesday of how Alaska is dealing with potential impacts of radiation from the 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster and tsunami in Japan. Environmental Conservation Commissioner Larry Hartig told committee members that his department is monitoring marine debris washing ashore in southeast Alaska and the Prince William Sound.
For now, we have a lot more debris than we used to have that came in from Japan. And Alaska got more than its share of it. Most of it's been just solid waste. It hasn't been anything that's what we would deem as hazardous waste.
He said the DEC doesn't have a separate program to keep an eye out for radiation in the debris. Since it flows here via California and Washington, he said federal programs in those states have it covered.
They have been monitoring for radiation, and they're not seeing any levels of any kind of human concern. And so when we look at this, there hasn't been a driving need in Alaska to try to institute a program, particularly where we'd be starting it from scratch.
Committee members wanted reassurance that Alaska fish stocks weren't at risk either. Hartig said the programs in the lower 48 are testing fish that swim between the Gulf of Alaska, the West Coast, and Japan, and they're sure the fish are safe to eat.
It worries me, frankly, when you see speculation because, you know, we sell our fish in the international market and there's people that would love to disparage Alaska fish. We got to be careful when we throw things out there that we have an industry that's dependent on the reputation of our fish.
He said they're working with other groups in the state to reassure buyers that Alaskan fish aren't contaminated. Hartig's presentation was part of a committee overview of all of DEC's programs. It was the committee's first meeting of the new legislative session. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Annie Ropig for help with this report. Don't forget you can visit our news section online at khns.org anytime. We also put breaking news and important announcements on our KHNS News Facebook page. And in case you missed Talk Around Town Thursday morning, where we talked about Haines school funding issues, you can find archived shows on our KHNS News website. They're also linked to from our KHNS News Facebook page. And thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS Local News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. We also bring you wider-reaching stories from around the region to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained, and we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.